everybody. If you don't know me, if you're here just joining us, my name is David, along with Pastor Brooke, who you had the honor of seeing towards the beginning of service. We have the privilege of leading Church of Motion, and again, along with our team, our dream team, our staff team, just so honored that you are with us this morning. How many are excited to be at church? You're excited? Hey, can we cut off the hazer again? I think they just want me to sing. They did this last week, and we'll just go from here. Well, hey, want to dive right in because I think I said this last week, so forgive me. I did not deceive you. It was actually a word from God this week. I thought we had ended the series we've been in called The Anointing last week. In fact, I think I told you, hey, we're wrapping up a series this week. But God actually showed me something in my time with him today, early on in this week, that there was one area of the anointing that we did not cover that he said before you in this series you need to cover. And so want to go there today. And I think this is going to bring some understanding to a topic that may be maybe a little confusing, maybe even a little uncomfortable from time to time. But I want to take you there here in a moment. But to get there, if you haven't been with us throughout this series, I feel like I need to do a quick little refresher of where we've been so that I can get you to what God laid on my heart that blessed me, and I think it will bless you as well today. So let's dive right in. Come on, is anybody excited for the Word of God this morning? How many know one touch from God, one revelation from his word can change everything? You believe that? Anybody come hungry for that this morning? Let's dive right in. Mark 6, starting in verse 17, it says, "These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." I just wonder, you don't need to raise your hand, who in this room has believed. Jesus was very clear, these signs will follow, or they should follow those who believe. Going on in verse 20, he said, "And they," those apostles, the disciples, his followers, those who sent out, they went out, they preached the word of God, they shared the gospel. How many know the gospel is good news? Come on, you've got good news to share. They went out, they preached it while the Lord worked with them, and he confirmed the word by signs that followed, right? So people were encountering the supernatural power of God. How many believe we serve a supernatural God? So when God moves, how many know we encounter supernatural power of God? Would you agree? Come on, if he's supernatural, he doesn't do things in the natural, he does the supernatural. Would you agree? 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said this, "My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." I just didn't talk. It didn't just persuade you with some clever arguments or words. He said, "But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on what? On God's power." And then finally, Acts 10:38, talking about Jesus. "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed," somebody say anointed, "anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went out doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Was Jesus anointed? Yes or no? So if Jesus needed to be anointed for the ministry that God called him to on this side of eternity, how many think that you and I need to be anointed to fulfill the assignment God has for us on this side of eternity? Would you agree? Right? If Jesus needed to be anointed to carry out his Father's assignment, you and I need the anointing to carry out the Father's assignment that you and I have, right? Jesus never told us, the command was not just mark time here on earth until I return and you go to heaven. The command was no, bring heaven to earth. Are you following me? In fact, that was in the Lord's Prayer. Many of us know it, but he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:20, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of what? Of power," right? It's an encounter with the power and presence of God that changes everything. So let me give you a little refresher so I can go to where I'm going today. Write this down. Many of you have been here. Hopefully you've got this memorized. Hopefully it's taking root within you, within your walk with Christ. The anointing is simply this. It is the manifest presence and power of God. Or you could see Say it's the power and presence of God being manifested. That word may be a big word to you. It just simply means made evident, made known. It's God's power and presence being made known or evident through your life, right? This is the anointing, that the supernatural would be poured out and touch others through your life. So God's power is displayed through your life. All throughout the Bible, we see God's power displayed through the life of believers. Would you agree? That is the anointing, the manifest power and presence of God. His presence, His power cannot be denied through a believer. There's the miraculous. There's the supernatural. Only God can get the credit. Heard somebody say it's the supernatural equipment to get the job done. How many know as a believer you're here on assignment? Would you agree? You've got a job to do, and if you're going to do it, you need the equipment to get it done. Yesterday, we had a serve day here at the school, and one of the jobs we knew the school needed, and maybe you noticed as you walked in, it was in need of a good power washing. Come on, anybody notice that here at the school? And so we knew we needed to power wash, but in order to do that job, how many knew, no, we just didn't need a power washer. We also needed to get up to the high part of the building. Would you agree? So it's one thing to go, hey, that building needs power washed. We should do it. But how many know you need the right equipment to get it done, all right? And we had to go rent like a 35-foot lift to get people up there to be able to power wash. We needed equipment to get the job done. In the same way, if we have a supernatural call on planet Earth, you need the right equipment to get the job. Are y'all following me? Very practical example, but goes with the anointing. It is the equipment to do what God's called us to do. We are here on assignment. The Bible says we have been appointed for such a time as this. Let that sink in. Like, God did not just like, oh man, I guess you're here. Whoa, that's, no. You were appointed for this time in history. When God scanned all of eternity, He picked you to be here for this generation, this point of history, right, for this move of God. I mean, let that sink in for a moment. And those He appoints, He anoints to get the job done. Again, the kingdom of God is not just a future thing, it's a here and now thing. Would you agree? As the church, we are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. When Jesus had the encounter with the woman at the well, he said, those that drink of my water, He's living water, those that receive me will become a well of living water. So if you've said yes to Jesus, you contain living water that every person, whether they realize it or not, is thirsty for. And it lives inside of you. Like you're called to be a living water dispenser, right? Jesus said that it would spring forth out of you into eternal life. In fact, John 7, 37 through 38, again, I'm just catching you up to go to today. John 7, it says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, so again, this, what's about to come next is for anybody that would believe in Jesus. He says, those that believe in me, as the scripture said, from their innermost being, so where Jesus takes residence, will flow rivers of living water. That is God's plan in your life, that you are a well of living water, but it wouldn't just stay in here. It would burst forth from your life, and it would touch family members and friends and neighbors and coworkers, and it would touch a city, a nation, in a world. This has always been the plan of God. You know that, right? The mandate was what? You will receive power to do what? To be my witnesses, right? This is the anointing. It's God's power and presence that lives inside of you the moment you said yes to Jesus, bursting forth and touching people's lives around you. So that's the anointing. I know some of you have been a part of this. You're like, man, I've heard that for the last weeks. But I know some of you haven't, and needed to catch you up just quickly so we could go to where God has taken us today. God showed me something this week that was very important for my life and just kind of the season Brooke and I are in right now. But I felt like He said it's also very important for your life. And I even coming into church today, I felt this heaviness of what I want to share that God put on my heart. I think it's going to touch some people today that you came in and, man, you've been feeling some darkness. You've been feeling some attacks. You don't need to raise your hand and like, oh, that's me. You kind of read right through what I'm going through. But God shared this word for me, but not only was it a word He said, this actually goes so well with the anointing. God showed me that the reason many of us get a little uncomfortable when we talk about the anointing, the reason there's confusion around the anointing is because we don't fully grasp or understand what I want to talk about today. Today he told me, and you may have already read the title, that we need to talk about identity. Everybody say identity. He said if we're going to be men and women, by the way, when I say moving on from the anointing, I'm saying moving on from the anointing series. Because it's anointed men and women that are going into their workplaces, schools, families. That's what's going to change the world. Amen? So we're not moving on from the anointing. We're just moving on from the anointing series. But he said, before you do, people have got to understand their identity. Because last week we talked about the purpose of the anointing, right? The anointing has a purpose, and that's to expand God's kingdom on earth. But God showed me this week, people will never step into their purpose. Therefore, they won't see a need for the anointing until first they understand their identity on this side of eternity. Are y'all following me? We need to understand our identity. In fact, when I'm going to be real transparent with you. When we started this anointing series, like, what was it, like 6 weeks ago? 6 weeks? Somebody just say yes. Yeah. It's been so good, Pastor. I lost track. Feels like it's, you didn't have to laugh. You could have just amen, right? Right there. When we started this series on the anointing, I thought everybody would be as fired up for it as I was. And I quickly realized that would not be the case. and really, this series came out of a simple desire to see the gospel in life as it is in print. Anybody have that desire? Like, I just wanted to see the gap close between, and I'm talking my life too, so I'm preaching to you, and but I just wanted to see the gap close between what we read about, what we talk about, what we sing about in church, to what we actually experience in everyday life. Anybody there? Like, man, if I could see the reality of what I read about, what we sing about. I mean, it's funny because when you start talking about the anointing, I think Kara said this one day, she's like, you know, it's so funny, we sing about it in songs, but then when we teach on it, people get very uncomfortable, right? And so it was just a desire to see the gospel in life as it is in print. In fact, it was really a desire just to see the words of what Jesus himself said, that these signs will follow those who believe. Jesus didn't say they might or maybe. It said these will follow those who believe. And so my desire is, man, let's just take Jesus at his word. Anybody else? Like, if Jesus said it, I believe everything else Jesus said, so I might as well buy into what he said about signs following those who believe. And so it came out of that desire. In fact, I don't know if I shared this in the series yet. I don't think I did. I had probably a month and a half ago, a revelation from God. It was right here in the front row while we were worshiping. And God said this specifically, and it was more of a conviction from the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn, but he will convict? And the reason he convicts is always to show you he has more for your life. That may be a word for somebody right there. When sometimes we get a little uncomfortable, like, that's the devil. No, that could be the Holy Spirit saying, I've got more for you. Not condemn, but to call you to a higher level. And he simply asked me a very simple question. We were in the middle of worship, and he said, when is the last time in worship on a Sunday morning you asked me what I wanted to do today? I had the same response some of you just did. Because I was like, well, God, in the planning we did throughout, then I'm not saying planning's not important, we plan. In the planning, we asked you, and God, we heard from you, and he said, not in the planning, in the weeks or the weeks before. Like, when's the last time during worship you just said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? Who do you want to touch? Who do you want to speak to? I'll be real transparent with you. In 6-7 years of a church, I was like, I can't recall a time, Lord. And from that point forward, I said, God, we will never have services so put together on a Sunday where we don't need you to show up. Because, God, if we get to a place where we've got it so put together where we can do it without you, I don't want to go there, and I don't think you do either. Again, I'm not saying don't plan. I'm never going to plan anything again. I'm not saying that. That's not what Pastor said. Don't even plan live. Just let you know it. But I'm not going to ever tell God, flow with me today. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, I want to flow with you today. Because your will is good, it's pleasing, and perfect. And so really this series came out of this. In fact, we've been in the middle of getting a new website designed. I don't know if I shared that with you, and we're excited. I think it's going to be kind of be live either this week or the week to follow. And so we've been in desperate need of kind of a redo on our website, a revamp on our website. And so I'm excited about that. But one of the things that delayed it is we were praying, Brooke and I were praying one day, and God specifically said, I want you to have a testimonies page on the new website. I was like, oh, okay, you know, testimonies page. And he kind of, as we prayed, he began to unveil over the next week what that looked like. And one thing he said we needed to have on there was where people could go online and there will be a video of Brooke and I that just simply share a simple gospel message and people can actually be led to Christ right there on the website. And then there'll be a form that they fill out and they get sent some next steps and their walk with Christ and starting out strong in their walk with Christ. That way, if somebody just happens, God leads them to the website or whatever, that is there for them. And I thought, well, maybe that's the extent of the testimonies page. But he said, I also want you to have a tab on that testimonies page called Share Your Story. And I said, well, what does that look like? And God began to say, well, when people give their life to Christ or when they're prayed over and they experience God heal them or they're delivered or they're set free, we have a place where they can go and share their testimony. How many know there's power in a testimony? The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. In fact, in the Old Testament, the word testimony literally means do it again. So not only when you see God move in your life, does it impart faith, does it take you to another level in your faith, it actually imparts faith into other people as well as they hear your story. It teaches us that we can expect God to do it again, that he's done it for them. God, he can do it in my life, in the life of others. And so I was like, oh, God, that's really cool. So when people get saved or prayed over on a Sunday and they're healed or they're set free or they're delivered, they have a place that they can go share their story. And he literally said, that's only a part of it. He said, actually, this is more for the Monday through Saturday testimonies. That when people go out and you're able to lead somebody to Christ, that when you pray over somebody at your job or workplace or out and about over town and they are healed or they're delivered or they're set free, you're going to go on that page and you're going to share your story and we're going to celebrate and we're all going to be inspired by that testimony. And why is that so big? Because that's the church I read about in the Bible. It's not just Sunday. In fact, Sunday should be an equipping to do the ministry Monday through Saturday that we've all been called to do. And again, I know some of y'all are like, oh, I don't know how to do that. And we're praying through God, how do we equip and how do we train? How do we disciple people up in this? But God said, I want you to get that page ready because the testimonies are going to start to pour in. You're going to pray over people and you're going to lead people to Christ and we want to hear about it. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 7. He said that the rivers of living water would burst forth, not just from the platform on a Sunday, but in every area of your life and people would experience the manifest power and presence of God. That's the version of Christianity that Jesus wants you to live. Did you know that? Might seem uncomfortable, might seem scary, but this is the version of Christianity that you go out and you be the church that God has called us to be. And so God showed me, and this is where I want to go, God showed me last week, he said, you know, you talked about purpose. We talked about expanding the kingdom of God. That's the purpose. But he said, you forgot an important part if we're going to flow in the anointing, and that is identity, right? People will never step into their purpose, therefore never feel there a need for the flow of the anointing in your life until you first recognize your identity, who you are in Christ. In fact, write this down. This is a new point in your notes. The anointing will flow as the church has a revolution in identity. The anointing will flow as the church has a revolution in identity. Felt like God sent me on assignment today to wake you up to your identity in Christ. Come on, somebody say identity. Are y'all with me out there? Identity. Come on, somebody say identity. Many struggle in the church when it comes to talking about things like the anointing, when it comes to talk about things like, I saw it in your eyes, some of you, when I talked about the testimony, I'm going to go do what? I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to pray. You know, I see it. And many of us struggle with that because I think the enemy has worked so hard to keep us from the full realization of who we are and whose we are in Christ. Are y'all following me? He is scared to death that you would come to the awareness of what it literally means to be in Christ, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God, what it means to be empowered and commissioned by God Himself to expand His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let me stay here for a minute. You know, the Bible says the moment you gave your life to Christ, you were called royalty. Think about that. You may not feel like it, but sometimes feelings don't line up with truth, and you've got to let truth lead. Feelings are important in our walk with Christ. God gave us feelings, but truth leads those feelings. The Bible says you are royalty, that you are adopted sons and daughters into the family of God. Let that sink in. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. We are co-heirs with Christ. Let this sink in. We are ambassadors here on earth of the kingdom of heaven. We represent heaven on planet earth. Right? We have everything, every resource in Christ to do what He's called us to do. You're a child of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty God. That has got to count for something on planet Earth today. Are y'all following me? We're royalty. Somebody say weakened identity. That's Satan's goal for your life. That is the mission of Satan for your life on this side of eternity, to get you to buy into this weakened state of identity in Christ. Listen to me. Satan knows he's lost you for all eternity, right? The Bible's very clear. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, Satan knows he's lost you for all eternity. His new mission is to make you as ineffective on planet Earth for the kingdom of God as he possibly can. Are y'all following me? Hey, that's why when you come to Christ, all of a sudden it's not like, Satan's just done. I've never feel tempted, never feel tested, never feel anything come against me. Are y'all following, right? Because sometimes we're like, man, I gave my life to Christ, and man, it's like, kaboom, you know? Enemy took, no, why? Because he doesn't want you to be effective on this side of eternity. Because the enemy knows when you fully realize and become aware of the power and the authority that you have in Christ on planet Earth, it's over for him. Darkness will be driven out, right? Because we're God's plan A. We're to bring in the kingdom of light and drive out the kingdom of darkness. But if we don't begin to wake up to the authority and the power we have as followers of Jesus, filled with His Spirit, Him in us, darkness will continue to expand. Because if the church doesn't step up and do what we've been called to do, how many know nobody else is? Right? Darkness expands when the church has a weakened sense of identity, right? But when the church wakes up to who we are in Christ, the authority and the power we have over all darkness, how many know it's over for Satan? Darkness continues to get driven out and replaced by the kingdom of light. But until we wake up to that, darkness will continue to expand. Why do you think Jesus told the church? These are the words of Jesus. That you will charge the gates of hell and hell will not prevail. Listen to me. Until you wake up to the identity and the power and the authority you have in Christ, how many know you won't charge the gates of hell? You will always retreat in fear. You'll retreat to fear of sin. You'll retreat in fear to sickness. You'll retreat in fear to disease. You'll retreat in fear to demonic oppression every time until you step into the identity you have in Christ and take the power and authority over those things that He's given all of us who have believed. Are y'all following me? This is why identity is so important. 1 John 3:8 says, but the Son of God came to, come on, say that word. Say it with a little passion. Destroy. What did he destroy? The works of the devil. I love that that verse doesn't say he just came to mess up the works of the devil. It doesn't even say he came to confuse the works of the devil. I'm kind of holding him down for a little time. No, it says what? Destroy. Destroy. Some of you don't look very moved by that word, so let me give you the definition of the word destroy. To utterly defeat. To demolish. To annihilate. To ruin, to dismantle, to smash, to obliterate, to extinguish, to blow up, and to wipe out. So let's read that again. Put that verse back up there if we can. But the Son of God came to destroy. What did he do? To utterly defeat, to demolish, to annihilate, to ruin, to dismantle, to smash, to obliterate, to extinguish, to blow up, and to what? Wipe out. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So So what does that mean for us?
Oh yeah, Jesus did that.
So what does that mean for us on this side of eternity? So when you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible says you were washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood removed all your sin. That's why you're a new creation, a new person in Jesus Christ. So you became what we call a Christian. Well, where does the word Christian come from? We'll break that word down. The first part of that word is Christ, right? The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which means anointed one. Anointed one. That's what Christos or Christ means, anointed one. So let me ask you a very simple question. We just read it. Did Jesus destroy the works of the devil? Yes or no?
Yes.
So then what is our purpose as followers of Jesus, as Christians, right? Because the word Christian means little anointed ones. So Christ, anointed one. Christian means little anointed ones. So what is our purpose on planet Earth as little anointed ones, as followers of Jesus? Listen to me. It's simply to enforce and reinforce the defeat that's already happened. Did Jesus destroy the works of the devil? So as little anointed ones, Christians, what's our purpose? We go around enforcing and reinforcing the defeat of sin, of sickness, of demonic oppression, of all evil and darkness. And are y'all following me? We never do it, though, until we wake up to the identity we have in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do we have any police officers in the room? Police officers? Just need to know if I need to run. I'm just kidding. Some of y'all got a little worried when I said that. I saw your face. You're like, I know we got some in training and to go to school. Let me ask you a very simple question. Do police officers write the laws? No. Are you thankful for that? Like, you know what? I decided to write a law against this. They don't write the laws. What do? They enforce the laws, and they reinforce the laws, right? The laws are already in place. Police officers, he or she, are there just simply to enforce the laws. They wear the uniform and the badge that clearly says, I am here to enforce the laws that are already in place. For example, you put a police officer out in the middle of a road with his uniform and badge on, and he says, stop. How many know you're stopping? But you put me, David Gibson, out in the middle of 75 with shorts and a t-shirt, and I put my hand up and say, stop. How many know y'all are peeling me off the front of a grill of a Mack truck? You know what I'm saying, right? Well, why would you say, the police officer bear a uniform and a badge that clearly says, I'm here to enforce the laws that are already in place. I'm concerned that many Christians live their life, see their identity, like me in shorts and a t-shirt on 75, seeing the darkness in our world and just going, oh my gosh, stop, and like we're just going to get mowed over by it. But the Bible says that we actually, as sons and daughters of God, we wear the uniform, we carry the badge to enforce what God has already put in place. Are you following me? The Bible says in Galatians 3, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and you have been united with Christ in baptism. Check this out. And have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. You have been covered by the blood of Jesus. You have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. You have his power and authority to enforce what he's already put in place over all evil, over all darkness within our world. What does that mean? So when I put my hand up and say, in the name and the power and the authority of Jesus, all the forces of the devil have to back off. Come on, some of you see it when a police officer does it, but you won't see it when the Almighty God does it. He says, I've already destroyed the works of the devil. You're here to reinforce and enforce what's already happened. Are y'all following me? Thought you'd be a little more excited for that. Again, too many Christians, us, we walk around as though the devil won at Calvary, don't we? I mean, think about, and let's be real transparent, think about the way we view darkness and resistance in our life. God had to wake me up to this week. It's been a great season for Brooke and I. It's been one of the darkest seasons we've ever had in ministry. Gotta be real transparent with you. And I've had to wake up to what I'm teaching you today, because if I'm not careful, I begin to look at darkness like it won on the cross. I'll retreat in fear. I give up. I can't do this anymore. But what are we doing? We're forgetting that darkness has already been destroyed. I simply now, by my words and my actions, enforce and reinforce that defeat. This is true for your life as well. Things that come against you, right? Darkness, evil, the enemy coming against you. We have the authority and power in Christ to push back the kingdom of darkness and push forth the kingdom of light. Let me just say it like this. I really believe revival will happen. And when I say revival, awakening, and it's going to start in believers first. Come on, sometimes we think revival is going to happen out there. Well, how would it happen out there if it didn't happen in the church first? Think about that. Revival will happen when the church wakes up to the identity we have in Christ. That no longer retreats in fear to darkness, to evil, and all the evil entails. That no longer looks at it as though it won at Calvary and that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. But we simply go around as little anointed ones, Christians, reinforcing and enforcing the defeat that Jesus already has over darkness. Right? Somebody say identity. We see this in the New Testament church, don't we? I mean, talk about persecution. Talk about, sometimes when I start complaining to God, I'm reminded of not only what the early church went through, but then you see what Christians in other countries are going through. Which, by the way, this is a total side note. If the church in the United States doesn't wake up to what we're talking about, it's going to look like that for Christianity in the United States. That's not like a depressing thing. Like we have power and authority, but if we don't start using it, the devil will clearly keep expanding his kingdom of darkness. Y'all following me? But we see in the New Testament church, I mean, think about it. The persecution, Christians being killed, driven out, yet the kingdom of God continues to expand. Like it continues to move forward. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear, and the Lord added to their number how often? Every single day. Was it because even in the midst of the darkness around them and the persecution, they literally saw Jesus defeat that through the resurrection, give them the power he promised to be witnesses, and so they went forth in the midst of darkness, enforcing and reinforcing that defeat. And that's why it continued. They knew their identity and who they were in Christ. By the way, this was God's plan. Maybe this will help you understand as we get where we're kind of coming to a close. Maybe this will help you understand what I'm talking about today and just our identity in Christ and in the power and the authority we have to enforce and reinforce what Jesus did at the cross and through the resurrection. Go back to the very beginning. You know, in the very beginning, I'll show it to you, God gave mankind, he chose this, he didn't have to, he gave mankind authority on planet Earth. Would you agree with that? In fact, when you go back to the creation story, right, God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. God breathed life into Adam. Very quickly, God realized that it was not good for man to be alone. He needed woman. And all the women said, amen. I see. Yeah, okay, all the men said. Come on, husbands. Amen, amen. I'm glad he did that. So good. Right, and so he made woman out of Adam's rib, right? And you know why we call woman woman, right? Because Adam was asleep and God made woman out of his rib and he woke up for the first time ever in creation and saw a beautiful naked woman standing right in front of him and he said, whoa, man. And God said, that's it. We'll call him woman. That's good. I liked it. You can see that in 2 Hesitations 2:7 if you want to look. Right, but man and woman created in the image of God, placed in the Father's ultimate expression of beauty and peace, what we call the Garden of Eden. And what was the, you know, from the very beginning, men and women had a mission. God didn't just say, yeah, there's the garden. Don't really know. God is always on purpose. He's always missional in everything he does. What was the mission? Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and what? And govern it. God gave mankind a delegated authority from the beginning on planet Earth. Many translations say subdue it, which literally means govern it, right? That we have this delegated authority, right, that God gives to those made in his likeness to govern or exercise the authority we have from God over creation, right? And he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. So God's intention from the beginning was that Adam and Eve would bear children, who would bear more children, who also lived under God's rule, and their devotion to Him would continue, and as it did, He would extend the boundaries of the garden, or you could call God's government, right? And this was to continue, we just read it, until the whole earth was covered with the glorious rule of God through man. Think about that. Fill the earth, multiply, fill the earth. But remember, Satan had rebelled in heaven. Y'all know the story, right? Wanted worship, and God kicked out Satan and many of the demons along with him. And by the way, that was not like a powerful, big fight to the very end. God just said, "You gone," and they were gone, right? God has that kind of power and authority, always has, over the enemy, over darkness. And we quickly see that Satan and those fallen angels, what we would call demons, are actually on planet Earth as well, right? We see that right away in the Garden of Eden. And this is why, think about it, this is why they were to continue to press forward the boundaries of the garden or God's government, right? And that's why we see the word subdue it, right? That we would continue to press God's rule forward and forward and forward until God said the whole earth was covered, that the whole earth was filled. And think, God could have got Satan off earth just with one word. Y'all know that, right? God could have said, "Do we got to do this again? You gone," you know, and there he goes. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that darkness would be defeated through his delegated authority, those made in his image who were lovers of God by choice, mankind. Some of you go, "Well, why in the heck did he put a tree where they could choose against him anyway?" Because relationship always requires choice. Love always requires choice. Those of you married in here, if you had the power to say to your spouse, "You will follow and love me." How many know you're going around your whole life going, "Would they really love me if I didn't force them to?" Right? That this was God's plan. In fact, Psalms 115:16 said, "The heavens, even all the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of man, or of men." God gave His prized possession, which was humanity, the highest honors from the beginning to rule over all creation. Why would He do that? Because love always chooses the best. God always has. Why did He give Jesus Christ? Love always chooses the best. From the beginning, right, the stage was set for all darkness as we subdued, right, all darkness to fall as man exercised his godly influence over all creation. But we very quickly realized three chapters into the Bible, it wasn't darkness that fell, it would be mankind that fell. Are y'all following me? I'm just taking you very simply back. We could just read through it, but I figure y'all don't want to be here for 5 hours. So I'm trying to give you a synopsis of what happened and what Jesus came to restore on the cross and through the resurrection. Somebody say authority. Notice that the enemy did not come into the garden and just say, "I'm taking over." He couldn't. He had no authority. He had no dominion there. In fact, God gave delegated authority or rule or dominion to mankind. We see that very evident within the scripture. And so what we see and why the enemy went into the garden is he knew the only way he would get dominion and authority would he'd have to get it from Adam and Eve. Think about it. God delegated his authority to rule over creation to Adam and Eve. The devil couldn't bust in and go, "Hey, I'm taking y'all over. Come on, Adam." And no. He didn't have dominion there. He didn't have rule there. He couldn't do that, right? The only way he could do it was he would have to get man to relinquish the keys of authority to him by agreeing with him against God. Are y'all following me? I hope to bring this alive, right? And by the way, even today, Satan is only empowered by man's agreement. You know that, right? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. You have to give place to the devil. You have to agree with him against God. That's what Adam and Eve did. That's how he got power. He got them to agree with him against God. In the same way, that's what sin is. When we just choose to live in a lifestyle of sin, we're giving the devil place. We're giving him authority. We're giving him access. Why? Because we're agreeing with him against God. So mankind's authority, we see right from the beginning, was forfeited when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And in that one act, think about this, in that one act in Genesis chapter 3, mankind becomes the slave and the possession of the evil one, right? All that Adam and Eve owned, including, check this out, the title deed to the planet with its position to rule, was forfeited to the enemy. Are y'all following me? I hope this is going to make some of y'all looking at me like, I'm just kind of going through the creation account, right? I'll make this very clear. Why do you think when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness before he started his ministry, the devil was able to say to him, hey, if you worship me, I'll give you the authority that I have on planet Earth because it was delivered to me? You know what he's referring back to is when mankind delivered authority to planet Earth to Satan. He couldn't take it, couldn't take power over it. He said, I have it. So basically what the enemy was telling Jesus, the enemy knew why Jesus was there. He was coming to take back what was lost when sin entered the world. And the enemy knew he stood no chance against Jesus. So the enemy goes, hey, how about you give me what I want? I want your worship. Come on, that's why he fell. He wants worship. I'll give you what you came for, the keys of authority back. But Jesus said, there ain't no compromising in this. You're going to lose. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to raise from the dead. And I'll take back what was lost in that moment in Genesis 3, the way God had planned it to be. Right? Because when humanity lost the keys of authority over planet Earth, God's plan to get them back kicked right in. Right? Jesus that would come over. We see the whole Old Testament is pointing to what Jesus would do. Right? God's plan of rulership never ceased. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Listen to this. Not only was mankind lost to sin, but mankind had lost dominion over the planet as well. That now darkness, evil, had dominion, had authority. Jesus came to recapture both. I want you to hear that. Not just to pay for sin, but also to recapture authority that mankind had relinquished control to the enemy. And so Jesus comes and he retrieves what mankind had given away. So look at the Great Commission. This is all over Scripture, by the way. When you see that from the beginning through the Old Testament to the Gospel to what we read about in the New Testament to what's to come, it's all over Scripture of what Jesus came to retrieve that mankind lost in the Garden of Eden. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. How much authority? All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. I got it back. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So, in other words, Jesus said, I got all authority back. Now go use it to reclaim all mankind. I'm trying to wake you up to the commission we have. This is the Great Commission. Like, this is where it's at. I got the authority. You don't have to worry about that. The works of the devil and the evil one and darkness have been destroyed. You now go and reinforce and enforce the defeat that already happened. I got all authority and power back. You have it in me. Now go reclaim all that was lost, mankind. Are you following me? And until we wake up to the power and the authority we have, we'll never go out and share our faith. We'll never go out and take power and authority over darkness and over evil and over sickness and over disease and over demonic influence. We'll continually retreat in fear until we wake up to who we are in Christ. Are y'all following me? Somebody say identity. Jesus said, I will give you the keys. That word keys literally means authority. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So the original plan was never aborted. I'm trying to wake you up to this. When Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven and he gave us the Spirit, he said, once again, I retrieved what was given away in Genesis chapter 3. Once again, I'm now through me. You have power and authority to expand my rule or my kingdom on planet Earth. So in the beginning, it was multiply and fill the earth. Expand the garden, right? Expand my government all over earth. We lost it. We gave authority to Jesus. So now sin enters the world. Jesus said, I came to get back what was lost. Now authority, now power. Now it looks different because sin has entered the world. Now our role through his delegated power and authority is simply to expose and undo the works of the devil in our lives and the lives of others. But the power and the authority from God. Are y'all following me? How differently would we begin to look at darkness and evil that come against us and people we love if we begin to wake up to the identity we have in Christ? The reason many of us struggle when we start talking about the mission and the purpose of the church is because we've allowed the enemy to weaken our state of identity, of the way we see ourselves and the mission God has called us to. And so when we wake up to the power and the authority, all of a sudden, this is what God showed me, all of a sudden we'll move forward in boldness to do what God has called us to do. all of a sudden will flow in the anointing, God's power and presence being released because I've been woken up to what God has called me to do and who I am in Christ, right? We've got to see our identity as children of God. Let me say it like this. Many Christians see God as the great I was or the great I will be. But come on, how many know he's the great I am? He's the great I am. Let me say it like this. We have power and authority. Are y'all following me? Our identity. It's very clear in Scripture. The lack of supernatural, the lack of advancement is not because it's God's, not God's will or God's word. We see it very clearly. It exists between our ears is the problem. That's why the word repent means a mind change. That's why the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of what? One of the greatest areas we need to be transformed in by the renewing of our mind is how you see yourself in Christ. We need to stop buying into the lies of the enemy that I've got this weakened sense of identity. I'm just going to kind of hang out until Jesus comes and, oh my gosh, darkness is going to take over. What's going to happen to our country? And oh my gosh, no. We're going to push forward in the authority and the power and the victory that Jesus has already won. I think as a church, we've got to stop making excuses for powerlessness in the church because according to the Bible that I read, powerlessness in the church is inexcusable. It's inexcusable. Jesus said, I came to retrieve. All authority has been given to me. The works of the devil have been destroyed. Now go enforce and reinforce that as my church. Amen? We need a revolution in identity. We need to start seeing ourselves as who we are in Christ, the power, the authority that he's given us to expand his kingdom, to drive out the kingdom of darkness and bring in the kingdom of light. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet as we get ready to close. I'll invite the worship team back up. You know, as we get ready, I'm just going to ask you just to close your eyes and to bow your heads. Maybe you're here and a revolution in identity starts with becoming a child of God. See, the amazing thing is Jesus said, I came to seek and save what was lost. I retrieved what was lost. But just like in the Garden of Eden, you still have a choice. Relationship love always requires choice, and Jesus won't force himself on you. He paid for your sin. Everything you need to be a child of God, everything that needs to happen for what we talked about, this identity in Christ to be true in your life, is simply receiving Jesus by faith. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. You simply receive it by faith. And maybe you're here and you've never done that. You've never confessed with your mouth. You never believed in your heart. That's what the Bible says we're to do. Not just attend church, not just go through some religious activity. No, I'm going to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're here and you've never done that. And I just want to walk you through what the Bible says, that we're going to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that he is Lord. And so I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer out loud. And so you're not uncomfortable and doing it all by yourself, I'm going to ask our Church of Motion family here to pray it out loud with me on behalf of those that may be praying it for the first time. Maybe you're rededicating today. Maybe you're like, I've prayed that prayer, but to be honest, God brought me here to wake me up that he's got more, and I'm rededicating myself to him today. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I want you to say something like this out loud after me. Church of Motion family, help me out. Heavenly Father, I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on a cross for all my sin and that he rose from the dead to bring me life. And so I repent of my sin and I turn to you, Jesus. I give you my life. I receive your forgiveness. From this day forward, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, I want to celebrate that. Today, the Bible says all of heaven is actually celebrating, throwing a party for you. It says even when one sinner repents and turns to Jesus, heaven breaks out in a praise party. And also, you're just leaving the starting blocks. You're not crossing the finish line. And we want to help you with some next steps. So if that was you, would you just, all eyes closed and heads, but would you just put your hand up high? I just want to celebrate that with you and say, come on, that was me. Praise God. I see your hand. Just want to celebrate that with you. Want to see who you are so we can pray for you specifically this week. There may be a team member that connects with you after service just to give you some next steps and celebrate with you. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I just want to give just a couple minutes for us to just listen and receive from God. I'm telling you today's message, I hope you've received it, that when you begin to see yourself as the Bible describes you in Christ, as we begin to understand whose we are and who we are and the power and the authority, we begin to look different as we go out into a world that is desperately in need of the light of the gospel. So would you just let him remind you this morning, if you're in Christ, would you just let him remind you of whose you are, who you are, that you've been given the keys of authority. I want to encourage you, look at that situation, whatever it is, whatever that dark situation is. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's disease, maybe it's torment in the mind, anxiety or worry, and begin to look at it differently. Come on, this is a moment of repentance. It's a mind change. That no longer am I going to retreat in fear. No longer am I going to let those things have authority over my life or the life. Maybe you're standing in the gap for somebody else today who's been looking at darkness in their life like it has more power than the one that lives in us. I want you just to begin to declare that over your situation, over your circumstance, whatever that is. Any dark area of your life, begin to take authority and power in Jesus Christ this morning. I want to invite our prayer team forward as well at this time.
Like the Lord wanted me to share this with you guys, and I especially with Pastor Dave's message and everything, you know, these past 6 weeks, the enemy really has been working overtime to really get us to quit, and quit what we're doing. And, you know, I already, like when he said he sat the devil down, I already sat the devil down and I told him, I am not quitting. Like, I am not quitting. There's nothing you can say or do to get me to quit. And so he heard me say that, and he knows that we're not going to quit, but he tried to use other things to get to me. So he turned to my deepest, greatest fear. He turned to abandonment. And people just started leaving and abandoning me. And for a child who's had three fathers who have abandoned her, basically told her she's not worthy of their love. It hurt. And so I started to doubt and I started to fear. And it's funny because I was in the car yesterday and I heard, I tell you guys, we have videos always playing, and I heard this phrase one of the characters said. He said, we have a rule, 9 mistakes and you're out. And the Father whispered to my ear, and he said, aren't you so glad that's not my rule? Aren't you so glad that's not my rule? See, people are going to doubt you. I think there's people in here that feel like they've made so many mistakes that they can't be used by God. That they made so many mistakes that people can never look at you differently. And that may be true for people, but God sees you for who you are in Him. In Him alone. So who cares what people have to say? Who cares what people have to say? You are a child of God. And God is going to use you in mighty, mighty ways. Stand on the authority of Christ. Yes. Stand in the victory you have in Christ. Because yes. Here's the thing. People want to run where they get uncomfortable, where they start to feel uncomfortable. And here at Church of Motion, we're calling you out of your comfort zone.
Right.
We are calling you out of your comfort zone, and we're saying it's time to get dirty. It's time to reach the lost. I'm tired of seeing empty chairs in here.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it because there are people that are dying, hurting,
yes.
And they need Jesus.
Amen.
And what's so great is that we, like Pastor David said, we have a great commission placed upon us. You are appointed. You are anointed.
Right. Yeah.
And God is going to use you in streets, at your workplaces, in the neighborhoods to bring people to Jesus. And you're going to get to walk with them. And you're going to teach them how to walk with Jesus. And you're going to love them.
Yes.
And you're going to empower them. You're going to see them healed and set free. Because you carry Jesus right here in you. I had to go out to my van in the service and I had to ask God to shake me, to wake me up, to stop pouting and crying, and to start walking in the victory that I have. And that is what God wants you to hear today. He wants you to know that, what I just shared. Don't let people distract you. Listen to what the Heavenly Father is telling you. Get into His Word.
Yeah.
Know it. Love it. Appreciate it. Know that it has power.
Yes.
It's alive and active.
Yeah.
And then pray to a Father. Let Him just touch you. That's why we have this time. Because we really believe in all in Scripture. All in Scripture, in one moment's time, people met Jesus and they were changed forever. It just takes a moment.
Right.
Just a moment. Right here, right now, you might just be feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that hunger and that thirst is coming upon you. If that's the only thing we did today, we did our job. So let me just pray over you and then we can go. Actually, if you're hungry and thirsty for God to use you where you're at, will you come forward? I just want to, I believe in the laying of hands, and so we're just going to touch you. It is time that we get out of our comfort zone. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that victory is ours. And you don't call us to anything that we can't do, that you're not going to equip us to do, God. You give us the tools, you give us the strength, you give us the love, you give us everything we need. And Father, you call Church of Motion to shake a church up. You called us to shake a body of Christ up. And it starts here and it starts today. That we don't just come and receive something on Sunday and then go back to our regular lives. Today we go out and we preach the gospel, we proclaim your love, and we touch people with the same hunger and fire and thirst that we have. And then they go out and do it, and then they go out and do it, and then they go out and do it. And God, all before you know it, a whole city is shaking for you. Hallelujah! People that are so desperate for something, they don't know what it is, and they need us to go and tell them what they're missing, what they're crying out for, why they're going to the bars every single night, why they're sleeping with their boyfriends and their girlfriends and God knows who, because they're seeking you and you alone. Jesus, would you fill the void in this city, God? Fill the void in this city, God. Even if 10 of us get it today, it can change an entire nation. Watch what God can do with the remnant, God. We're here, we're ready, we're going, we're able, we're capable because of you and you alone. Hallelujah. If we can just sing that this is a move. Because this is a move. This is a move.
This is a move. This is a move. This is a move. This is a move. Oh, this is a move. This is a move.
We are here.
Service coming in here in a little bit, and if you feel like you haven't received prayer and you would like prayer, our prayer team, and we'll still be available. We'd love to pray for you and over anything going on in your life, anything you're feeling. If you just need to stay in this moment and be a minister to, feel free to do that.